Hello, and thank you for tuning in for another edition of Insider Stories. Each time, I bring in a guest from the magic finance world, and we talk about how they find new and innovative ways to make more money with magic cards and make their hobby pay for itself. This series is brought to you by QuietSpeculation.com, and in fact, people who subscribe for our insider service are our guests, and on the site, people can learn how to buy and sell and trade and stop losing money on magic and turn it into maybe a hobby that pays for itself, and maybe you end up making a little bit on the side. With the two Pro Tours coming up, and certainly the two new sets, there are a lot of opportunities to make a big splash and also to avoid losing money by pre-ordering the wrong card or spending too much on something. You certainly can get advice if you're a beginner or if you're a seasoned veteran on Quiet Speculation, so I encourage you to give the site a try. You can find our backlog of Insider Stories podcasts on mtgcast.com, and they're also posted on quietspeculation.com. So I hope after you hear this interview, you will go back and maybe listen to a few other shows and write to us. You can tweet us at QuietSpec on Twitter. And without further ado, I would like to begin our interview. We have, as our guest today, Pi from the Insider Forums, who's also known as Nils. And Nils, you are from, now let me, you're going to have to help me out here. Are you from the Netherlands or Holland or what's the specific there?
Well, actually both, Doc. The Holland of is used interchangeably with the Netherlands, but would refer to two of the provinces, and I'm actually in one of them, so both would be correct.
Okay, so I'm glad I didn't screw that up. I know that there are.
I'm actually from Amsterdam.
Okay, wonderful. And do you live in the city then?
I do. Well, not in the center. One of the outer regions.
Well, Nils, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 32 years old, just had my birthday. I've been playing Magic for a little over 17 years now. I'm from Amsterdam, born, raised in a town right next to it, and now live there again. Been playing Magic for a very long time, always been a very active trader, and always preferred to play casually. Not one for the tournaments.
When you're not casting spells, what are you doing?
I work for a big IT company as a business information analyst. I'm currently working on reporting the usage for a number of very big systems they have, and then if something goes wrong, I get involved with fixing it, which is the most interesting part. How did we screw up and how can we resolve it?
I'm sure that every kind of screw up is a new one, right?
Yeah, you'd hope so. And besides that, I organize my own tabletop gaming event every second and fourth Saturday of the month. And I also tend to visit other events like that.
And so tell me what the magic scene is like in Amsterdam.
We've got like this bar / diner cafeteria place where people play Monday evenings. They actually get some of the pros to draft. And they also do the Friday night magic there and the pre-releases there. It's quite a large place.
That's excellent. Is that a store, or is that a place where you just get together to meet with people?
It's actually much like a bar.
Wow. So you can have a beer while you play magic cards.
Yeah, or even stronger liquor if you're so inclined.
I hope that something like that comes to America one day. One day we will get on the same page as you. So tell me about what you do with magic cards and trading and selling.
Okay, well, first of all, you should know, I generally either do collection, buying and reselling, or trading for bulk. I guess most people know about collection buying, but may not be as aware of trading for bulk. What happened a couple of years ago was that I saw people trade for bulk rares on the biggest Dutch magic forum, and they seem to be getting very good rates. If I saw that they put a card up, just offer some amount of bulk rares, and if you reckoned that the store connected to that forum was actually paying 10 euro cents per bulk rare, they actually offered more bulk rares than they could have just traded in at the store to get the card. So I was like, okay.
It sounds like you noticed an opportunity there to step in.
Yes, absolutely. So I was like, okay, this sounds like something I should make use of. Maybe I can even find a better place to send my bulk rares to. And worst case, the store's actually right next to Amsterdam and Amstelveen. I could easily just drop them off, so that'd be a little saving as well. So I decided to give that a try. Actually, I had pretty good results. And then found a store that gave much better prices.
So how do you find bulk rares from people to trade to you?
Well, generally, these days I just keep an active topic on the forum saying, well, these are a bunch of cards with scans of them. Make me an offer. And people just approach me, make me an offer. Sometimes I'll get a ridiculously low offer. Rarely I get a ridiculously high offer.
Mm-hmm.
But most seem to either have a decent idea of what to offer me, or will just say, well, got no clue, please tell me how much you want. And generally I tell them, or at least give them some indication of what to expect.
And do you make an offer that you just give me bulk rares of whatever you have and I'll give you this card?
Yeah, that's basically it. Generally, I tend to look at what people in the U.S. are asking on TCG Player, look at what's the lowest, and then assume 10 cents per bulk rare, and that'll be my first indication to whoever's interested. And if they want to offer fewer bulk rares, well, depends on how low they go.
So if you're trading off valuable cards, like let's say you trade off a Chrome Mox and then you get, I don't know, 500 bulk rares or whatever, what do you do with all those cards? Do you go through them and look for things that are worth more than bulk, or do you just pass them off to your good buyer?
I definitely go through them. Really, the first step is, are there any I'm still looking for? Because in fact, there are quite a few cards I'm still looking for. So I tend to end up with about 20-30% cards that I'm keeping, either because I want them for my collection or because I feel they're more valuable. And after that, there will also be a percentage that's just not in a condition that I could send to the store. But that's somewhere between 5% and 10% at most. And the rest, I just gather, and when I've got a couple of thousand, I'll send them in.
That sounds very easy and simple to do. And do you find that helps you get a little bit more pocket money for Magic cards then?
Well, I tend to trade in for credit because I get a better deal that way. So, in a sense, that's just extra pocket money if I was going to spend it on Magic anyway. Definitely. Together with, I sent the collections to the same store, and I'm basically now eyeing a Black Lotus.
That's wild, out of bulk cards, right?
Yeah, about half of it, I'd say.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we'll certainly have to have you on again when you get that and at least get a picture to tweet out to people. When you're buying collections and you're selling, are there multiple buy lists in the Netherlands or in the greater European sphere where you can sell to? Or do you have one store that you just like to consistently sell to?
Well, they do exist, and you've probably seen, I think the Czech store who offer the buy lists up on the QS forums.
Yes.
There are also a few Dutch stores I'm aware of that have buy lists, like about three of them. And I know there are a few others in Europe, but not that many. To put it in perspective, I'm aware of about 20-25 stores in the Netherlands and three that have buy lists.
So that seems like a very small amount, but I think that would also mirror what we have in the United States, where most stores that I go to and play in do not have any buy list even written on a board on the wall, much less posted online. Maybe I wonder whether there's just a greater distance and more difficulty in shipping them out to other countries in Europe. Have you noticed that?
I think there's definitely that. I mean, the Netherlands is a small country. I'm really not sure if they could really gather a lot of cards through buy lists. It may just be preferable to only buy collections. I mean, I'm not a store owner, but I do think they pick up cards that way.
Well, when we're talking about buying collections, how do you find collections that you'd like to buy?
I actually tend to either find them through my forum. I actually have a Magic Forum, magicforums.nl, in the Netherlands, people tend to post there asking for help with selling their collection or valuation of their collection. And, well, if it looks interesting, I might just make an offer.
So
my most recent collection buy was something I knew, someone I knew through Tabletop Gaming, who I'd met in one of those clubs. And he was like, oh, yeah, I used to play Magic. And, could sell his collection. And it turned out to be a rather great collection.
Was he surprised at how much it was worth?
No, he told me he had figured he wanted a minimum of 5,000 euros,
mm-hmm.
and we finally agreed on 4,500.
That's excellent. So how are you going to keep that whole collection, or are you going to sell just enough to cover the 4,500, or are you in this for profits?
I actually bought it in October and have sent it to my favorite store. And already got my money out.
Oh, wonderful.
And then some.
But this must have been a very good collection. Were there any big highlight cards in there that you were sad to trade out?
No, really. Most of the good stuff I still have. It was a really rather good deal.
That's very good. So things like Tarmogoyfs or Fetchlands or Dual Lands?
More like Dual Lands. That's more the time frame he played in.
That's an excellent collection, then.
There was like this huge box of Ursus Legacy and Ursus Destiny commons. I must have sent in like 40 Yavimaya Elders, and I found like 20 more. Just to give you an idea, it was I think I more than doubled my own collection just by buying that.
That's awesome. And I have to say, I have gone through a lot of collections in the past, and I wish I had your luck, because all of the collections I tend to see are from the dead zone in Magic, where mm-hmm. from about Chronicles to really up to maybe Urza's, or Tempest, I think. Chronicles, not including Tempest, because that was an awesome set, but I see things and there's a whole bunch of 4th edition cards, and if they're not called Land Tax or Sylvan Library, mm-hmm. there's no money in them.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, as I trade for bulk, I also trade for commons that are worth a little more. I tend to pick up counterspells and dark rituals.
And how long have you been playing Magic, by the way?
I actually started with Tempest.
That was a good set to start with.
Yeah, well, at that point I was like, oh, Magic cards, and didn't know much about whether it was a good set or anything. All I knew was I had these two guys in my class, and they were talking gibberish all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I got rather curious. So at some point we were in a drawing class, and I was like, okay, guys, tell me, what are you going on about? And they gave me a very basic description of a magic card. They actually drew one on the table. It was a drawing class, after all. And explained what was what. And that got me interesting, and a little later that week, one of them invited me to their place and explained what it was all about.
That's wonderful. Do you have any favorite cards from that early period when you were learning how to play?
Well, I distinctly remember that I kind of liked Elvis Archers. And then in the very next set, a white common was printed that did exactly the same.
Which one was that? The Youthful Knight? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Yes, so it's like, oh, the poor Elvis Archers. And I kind of have a weakness for them. I know they're not that great, but I do collect them. I have, I guess, about 200 of them.
And you have, I remember this because it's in your signature on the QS forums, that you have quite an extensive collection across sets. So are there ones that you're still looking for?
For Elvis Archers, you mean? Well, I'd definitely be very interested in obtaining a summer copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually only have the beta or collector's edition artist proofs. So I'd like some artist proofs from other sets. But otherwise, I think I've pretty much all the English ones I might want. Got like four alpha copies, four beta copies. I'm trying to get at least a play set, but I really doubt that'll ever happen with Summer Edition.
Well, if listeners, if you're out there and you happen to have a Summer Edition Elvis Archers, I might have a buyer for you here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Do you do much speculating on cards that are coming out?
Well, definitely not the new ones. I pretty much ignore new sets in that regard. I'm not a tournament player. I've got no idea of what's going on in standard, except for what I might read on QS. And really, it's not my thing. I used to do that, like back in the day, but these days I'm just not that active with Magic. Cards are likely going to drop in price before I can move them. So I really just don't. I look for any cards I might want to own, and I'll open a box or two boxes if it's a larger set, and I'm only picking them up if, well, either they're like definitely very interesting for Eternal formats, but then I'm still gonna wait until they settle down a bit, say with the fetch lands.
Yes, I'm waiting on those to come down, too. I know that I do need my sets, but I'm not going to get them just yet.
Like, I had my sets already. It's more that I figure I can trade those out for bulk again at a later point.
Wonderful. Also, another thing, I have been trying to learn more about how the European Magic market works, and you've been very helpful in explaining this to me in times past. Maybe you could explain to our listeners, is there a site like Channel Fireball or Star City Games? I mean, I know I've heard of Magic Card Market. Is that sort of like it?
I'd say Magic Card Market is more like TCG Player. Because, well, Channel Fireball and other sites like that's one store. And TCG Players has, well, anybody who wants to offer cards there. And Magic Card Market is basically the same. Anybody can create their own seller's account and sell their cards.
So, do you use Magic Card Market to buy cards then?
Irregularly. My experience has been that grading is not very accurate on Magic Card Market, and I'm sort of picky when it comes to the condition of my cards. So about half the time I ended up having to go back and discuss and try to get some sort of refund or other arrangement. And it's not worth the hassle.
I understand. I do want to ask, how are prices in euros for cards set? And do people use Magic Card Market as a reference the way that people use, for example, Star City Games or TCG Player prices here?
They do. I know in the Netherlands they're going to look there, or they're going to look at one of the bigger Dutch stores. I actually know that the biggest Dutch store tends to price about halfway where the Magic Card Market prices sit. So like on TCG Player, you got a low, your mid value, and your high value, and you'll sit somewhere in the middle. And I think more stores do that, but I've actually heard the owner say that, so I'm pretty sure he does it.
Okay, so when people are trading in America, they tend to pull out their smartphones and look up prices for every single card and trying to make the deal as close down to the penny that they can. Do you find that you have a lot of people who get on their smartphone as soon as they sit down to trade with you for things like, you know, if you're trading out of Fetchland, they want to look up the value?
Well, I don't actually play that much. I don't actually meet a lot of Magic players. In my experience, which was with my casual group and some other people I meet, I can generally do without the smartphones, and they tend to do so as well. But that does include mostly long-time players who come from an era when it wasn't common to look up prices. And if you did, you might just look up one or two in your Inquest or Duelist or something. It hasn't been my experience, but I don't know if that's a good representation for the Netherlands, let alone for Europe.
I'm smiling here because you mentioned Inquest prices, and I remember that some of them were kind of fantasy prices of, you know, nobody would ever pay this amount for it now. And then I look at other cards and say, well, I wish I would have bought Tropical Island for $22 when they had it there in 1998.
I remember seeing beta duels for 100 guilders. That was about $50 at the time.
Was that just way too much money to pay for those kinds of things at that point, or did you want them?
I was 14. That was at that point too much, but in hindsight, I should have bought all of them, of course.
Absolutely. What was the first piece of the Power 9 that you saw in person?
Probably. I went to a monthly convention. Definitely the major dealer there had some power. And there were a few regulars who did so as well.
That's excellent. I think my first piece of power that I saw was a Time Twister, which was a total letdown. That was the first thing I saw. But I think it was in a store case for $90. And
well,
I remember reading it and thinking to myself, why would you pay $90 for that when Wheel of Fortune is $3? But that's that big difference between an unlimited and a revised printing also.
I do remember being amazed at some prices. Well, in hindsight, for really any and all of those cards, should have bought them.
Well, I feel bad for the people who bought Balduvian Hordes at $30 because everybody said it was the next Juzamjin. And now
I remember trading them away.
Do you? You were smart to trade them away.
Well, I was just I was taught Magic by two guys who we today would describe as sharks. I knew about trading. I was probably could have been described as a shark myself.
I think people went through that in the mid-90s, so there's no shame in that.
No, definitely willing to admit it. But at the time, I had like one playset I was keeping, my playset of Birds of Paradise, and I had three decks. and everything else was up for trade. So I would just trade all day and generally at the end of the day approach the dealer who organized the conventions and be like, well, this is what I got for you. What do you give me for it? And let me pick something out from your binders. Something cool. That's how I got my first power, in fact.
What do you remember what it was?
An Alpha Ancestral Recall.
Wow. Do you still have that or did you trade it?
I actually traded it for an Unlimited Recall and a bunch of other cards, mostly duels and a bunch of fancy stuff. And then I traded like the other cards for a Max Ruby, also from Unlimited. But at some point decided I prefer duels as a playset. I started playing more and building new decks. So I turned those into duels just before, in 2004, 2005, the vintage prices really shot up.
Oh, yeah, and some of those cards doubled or tripled in price. And I'm just thinking about it that a lot of traders I've talked to would think twice about getting rid of power even for something like duels. And you're really making a strong case that there's nothing that's going to sit in your binder that you're going to sit and look at that you're too scared or too attached to trade away. So I really like that. That's courageous.
Well, that was back then.
Would you do that trade again today if it were even money?
I'm not exactly sure of those exact trades, but around the same time, I had a Mister's Workshop, which was going for about 70 euros at the time, and I traded it for 7 duels, so that was pretty good for me. I got the duels, and then suddenly the card went about 200, 250. And I was sort of disappointed.
Well, then you have again, to be happy now, because I'm thinking even if you traded for 7 plateaus, you would still probably be in good shape from that, that trade.
About half of them were blue duels.
Oh, wow.
Definitely. These days, yes, I would again make that trade.
I remember a long time ago, I had traded off or buy-listed or something my Invasion Meddling Mages, and then they announced Meddling Mage was going to be reprinted in Shards of Alara, and it shot up to like $10, and I thought, darn, I regret doing that, and then it dropped down way lower in price, and I thought, no, I got out at the right time on that one.
I, back with Rise of Eldrazi, when Kosilek was spoiled, I decided I'd try the pre-order game, and got them at $20 each.
It's a very good price.
Well, these days, yes. I got 8 copies, kept 4 for personal use, and nobody wanted the others. In fact, they dropped quite a bit in value, and I eventually ended up buy listing them for 5 each. And then they started rising again to the prices they're worth today.
Isn't that how it always is, that a card, you know, you look back and you think, I'd do that trade 5 years ago, but not 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely what kind of bummed me out about doing the pre-order stuff. And I'd rather just wait and see what happens.
Well, a lot of the pre-orders, I know, come from the U.S., and a lot of them are English cards. And I was wondering if there is a... How does the European market view cards that are in English? Are they worth more? Or, for example, if people are in Germany, they want German cards. In Italy, they want Italian cards. Could you explain that to us?
Well, no. The thing is, yes, I'm from Europe. But I think of myself as somebody from the Netherlands, a Dutchie. Now, I've been to Germany for work and... So I got some idea of what they do there, because I actually played some Magic there as well. But I have no idea on the other countries. Now, and first of all, there's no Dutch Magic cards. There are no Dutch Magic cards. So In the Netherlands, here, we prefer English. In Germany, it was about 50-50, maybe 60-40 for English versus German among the people I had contact with there.
And that's interesting to me because you would presume that you would want the cards in your own language, but I have also heard, for example, that the Spanish translations for a number of years were not very good or were not good enough, and that players at the tournament level much preferred English cards, even if they were in a foreign language to them.
I might actually refer back to my tabletop games in general. I tend to get my games in English. If you ever read the rules in Dutch, you're going to be like, oh, why did they translate it that way? What do they mean? Oh, they mistranslated. It just doesn't sound right. I definitely would not get a single Dutch card if I could help it, if Magic was printed in Dutch.
Really? So you wouldn't touch them?
Well, you might get some when you're buying them in a collection, I suppose. But it wouldn't be voluntary.
I'll say there was one time when I would have much rather had the translation, and there was a misprint on the Spanish Moloku, the Clouded Mirror.
Yep.
And the Spanish one made 2/2 tokens instead of 1/1s. And I really wish it were like that.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen the Japanese Cursed Scroll? One has a cheaper activation cost.
Oh, excellent.
If I remember correctly, it has an activation cost of 3. And so the other one is 2.
That certainly makes a good card even better.
That was a rather good card to have back in those days.
That was, and I remember Cursed Scroll was a dominant card, and especially if you got in at Tempest, you would have experienced a lot of Cursed Scrolls at that time.
Well, that's assuming I played Tournament Magic.
It took me probably 10 years of Magic playing before I actually got to a point where I wanted to play in tournaments and build real decks, so I understand.
I mean, when I was in Germany for work, playing in a Legacy tournament definitely beat twiddling my thumbs in a hotel room. But if they had a multiplayer game there, I was definitely playing the multiplayer game.
You know, I think that there's also a difference in that when we play in tournaments, we want to win. And, you know, everybody wants to have fun, but when I play casual Magic or multiplayer, I want to have a good time with friends. I'm not so as interested in winning. It would be nice, but maybe it's just because I don't pay to play multiplayer, whereas if you play in a tournament, you have to pay.
That's absolutely true, but that wouldn't be what would keep me back. Those tournaments in Germany, for example, were, I think they were free, but it just doesn't draw me. I'm not that competitive.
How do you see yourself working with Magic this year? Are you interested in still buying and working with collections, or do you think you'd be doing more of that, doing more of the bulk work? What would you like to do?
Well, definitely this year collection buying has been really interesting. I picked up a few collections, and two of them were like really big, and I made a nice profit on them. So that gives me a taste for more. But trading for bulk is a lot of fun. And, I mean, it's like Christmas. You get a bunch of bulk and you get your gifts and you're just browsing through them. Oh, that's a cool card. That's one I was still looking for. Oh, that one's definitely worth more than bulk. Just like getting a lot of presents.
I love looking through collections for that reason too, and I sometimes get excited about like the dumbest cards. I would much rather I get more excited about finding a Hall of Gemstone from Mirage than finding a Lion's Eye Diamond, even though I'm more happy to find the Lion's Eye Diamond.
Yeah, I'm oddly amused by the cards that used to be valuable. The Balduphian Hordes, for example.
I remember I bought 4 Royal Assassins on TCG Player for about $1 each the other day, and I thought if I could just go back and give these to myself 15 or 10 years ago, I would be thrilled because Royal Assassin was the card to have.
Yeah, I got surprisingly many in bulk. Like, another Royal Assassin. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they sell for very much more than bulk these days to a store.
Some of them do slightly more.
And
so I do pick them out just to check which ones I could sell for more. But most of them are just bulk.
And, you know, one of the things we emphasize on Quiet Speculation is that people can, they can buy and trade for bulk. They can buy collections. They can trade every week. And that there's more than one way to make a profit on Magic. And I think what you're describing, you have, you know, collection buying is certainly a huge return on the value if people are willing to put on the work on it. And also trading for bulk is something that I don't often hear people talk about. But that's one of those things where you can get a huge return on it for not a lot of work if, for example, you're making somebody give you 200 or 300 bulk rares for big ticket items.
Yes, and there's actually one more thing that helps me there. I've been working with that store for quite some time, and I've actually built up a rather good relationship. And because I have, I get better prices.
And that's something that I've heard also with other people, is that if you develop a relationship with a store, they know that you're a reliable person. I mean, for example, they know that you're only going to give them near mint stuff. That's worth something to a store.
Actually, with my most recent shipment to them, they were like, oh, we've got it. You're getting your credit. We'll look at it at some point.
So they trust you, too. Are you comfortable naming the store on the air?
Yes, I am. But with a little disclaimer,
you're
not getting my contact there. He specifically asked me not to share his name.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be backed by everybody, of course. You're not likely to get the rates I'm getting. I've built up that relationship. You'd have to start at zero. But yeah, I'd be willing to share. I actually sent to a store in England. Manaleak.com. Yes, and they don't actually have a buy list on the website.
Interesting. How did you build up a relationship with them if they didn't have a buyer then?
Well, they definitely had a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But they used to list a bulk rate.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, drew my interest. And I had been buying from them a few times. And while their grading standards are a little lower than mine, so we sometimes had a bit of a discussion, they would also always resolve it really well, like best of class. If my experience, if the card was under $10 or so, they'd just be like, okay, keep the damaged one, we'll send you a new one.
Wonderful.
And they'd always resolve it well. They have these free extra goodies you can get. If you order over a certain amount, you're getting an extra booster pack. That's always been very nice. Always very willing to cooperate. Got some very interesting deals with them, of course. But that at the start, I was like, okay, I see you're buying bulk. Do you buy any other cards? Well, he was very, very happy to buy other cards. And sometimes I would actually get prices above TCG player low. I had no reason to go to any other store.
And, you know, for the listeners out there, it's worth building up a relationship like that with
Definitely.
Stores. And even if they don't have a buy list, Nil's story suggests that you can contact a store with a storefront and just see if they're open to buying. That's wonderful.
Yes.
I got to ask, and you're going to have to excuse my ignorance on this, what is postage like when you're shipping something from the Netherlands to another country in Europe or to England? Is there a large, do you pay an international rate?
Yeah, shipping to another country, the price of stamps to ship to another European country is I think about 30% higher.
Okay.
And you still use the same amount of stamps, so that's okay. Of course, when I send in my bulk, I've recently sent in 6,000 bulk rares, a booster box full of more expensive cards, and a couple of hundred bulk foils. So pretty big box. That was for 40 or so euro.
So that's a bit pricier, but you can bunch all those things together and send them in whenever you want.
Yeah, and well, I got £2,400 out of it.
And that's where that was in pounds?
Yeah, I get everything in pounds.
That would make sense then, yes.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any advice that you would give to listeners who want to get in and maybe work with bulk rares or start buying collections?
In either case, no, you're out. It doesn't really matter how great the deal you're getting is if you don't know where to move it. And for example, I bought a 4,500 euro collection, and, well, that's quite a large part of my savings. It's risky if I can't move that. So, in fact, while I was at the seller's place, I was in touch with my contact at the store to ask whether he wanted any of the sealed product in that collection, just to make sure I could move everything. And I think that's really important. Know your outs. So some people will be able to sell on places like TCG Player or Magic Card Market, and that's great, but then you need to take into account that it will take a while before you can move them. But other people need, like me, just move it all at once to buy list, and you better be sure you're going to get enough to make it worth your while. The same is true for bulk rares, of course. Even more so if you don't know that you're going to get... I should rephrase that. If you are expecting to get, 15 cents, and turns out the best you can find is 10 cents, because whichever store you thought you were going to use doesn't want them anymore, that's quite a drop. It may not sound like much, only 5 cents, but if you've got thousands, you don't want to get 33% less. And definitely something that's very relevant to me, as in fact recently the store has reduced its bulk rates as it got sort of flooded, though I still have a good enough deal.
Excellent. You know, and you had mentioned also getting sealed product, and that's one of those things where there's no easy market for that. You can't quite put up a box of sealed Urza's Legacy on TCG Player. And on eBay, I know that can be very risky to be selling sealed product in boxes. I think that we unfortunately had somebody recently on QS who ended up getting scammed on eBay for a box.
Yeah.
Certainly. If you spend $1,000 on a box of sealed cards and you don't know where you're going to sell it, even if you know you can get $2,000, maybe that's not the greatest deal there.
In fact, the sealed product with this collection was all single boosters. So that'd be even harder to move.
Oh, certainly, because, yeah, and I can just imagine.
And a number of pre-constructed decks. He had about 300 8th edition pre-constructed decks.
Is there anything worthwhile in those, by the way?
One of them holds Goblin King. That's about the best you're going to get.
That's about it, then.
Yeah, but I passed on those 300. But I worked it out with that store, and they were willing to take the sealed product. And, of course, as a store, they can sell the single packs, so they should be fine. And I do believe these were not, how do you call it?
Mapped?
Mapped, indeed, yeah. I was thinking scanned, but that's not possible. They weren't that old. I did keep the unhinged boosters.
Those, are you ever planning on opening those?
I'm thinking about doing an unhinged tournament in some form.
That would be so much fun.
24 of them. 25, I think.
Oh, so you can do a full draft.
Yes. And I remember being at the Unhinged pre-release, one of the very few tournaments I've been to. And well, that was a ton of fun.
Well, I hope that you can find people to draft and recreate it then.
Yeah, or maybe go for a smaller sealed tournament. I don't know. But I'm thinking about doing that at some point.
Yeah, I don't know how well that set drafts, but if you went with four people, you could definitely do six packs sealed.
Yeah.
That would be great fun.
Absolutely.
We are approaching an hour here, so I wanted to thank you for your time. Listeners, if you have questions for Nils, how can people find you? Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, but I mostly respond to people. I don't really post a lot by myself. Definitely the QS forums would be the best way to get in touch with me.
Okay, so if you want to talk to Nils and you're not a QS insider, this would be a wonderful reason to sign up. Well, we will certainly have more questions about the European market for you and learning more about this. And I wanted to thank you for being a wonderful guest on the show today.
Nice to have been here.
And thank you. This was Van Nils from the Netherlands on Insider Stories. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with another story about Magic Finance and how you can trade more, play more, and pay less for the game. Thanks for listening.